I appreciate the youth department asking me to speak today, and it's an honor. I've been on this platform under a lot of different circumstances. I was here as a youth director a long time ago and been in this platform. I've been on this platform several times in the Sunday school department, and we're here today. We're going to talk to you about what we call the blessing factor. Everybody say blessing. Everybody say blessing. Everybody say, I want a blessing. Now, you know what you're saying before you say it, don't you? There's a lot of different blessings. And I'm not going to talk about just the one that is the emotional one, but there's other blessings that God wants to give to the church. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Acts. You don't know where that is, ask the person next to you. They'll probably help you find it. And chapter 2, which is probably one of the chapters you might have a hard time finding. I use one Bible so much I lost the book of the second chapter of Acts. The page was gone. I didn't even have it. Everybody said hallelujah. Everybody said I'd rather be here than the best hospital. I'd rather be here than the best jail. I'd rather be here. Amen. Then married. Oh, sure lost a lot on that one, didn't I? The book of Acts chapter 2, verse number 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all, everybody say all, filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse number 13. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. And then I want to go to verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Let's pray. God, we love you today. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, your Spirit, for the convention of these young people, God. We pray that you'll open up our minds, open up our hearts, God, to receive. You are a blesser, God, and you do want to bless us. You want to give us your favor, God, and help us this day to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There are three things that I want to talk about today according or in regards to chapter 2 of the book of Acts. Number 13, they had received the Holy Ghost in such a great manner that people thought they were drunk. Now, that is a blessing. Can you say amen? They were really drunk with the Spirit. But verse 42, they continued. And I like to talk about continuing. It's one thing to be blessed. It's another thing to continue in the blessing. The way they got the Holy Ghost was continuing. Chapter 1 and verse number 14, and they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. So to receive the Holy Ghost, they continued in the upper room. Then they received the Holy Ghost. Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. But then in verse 49 or 45, they took their goods and they parted them to every man according as every man had need. Now there's an interesting thing about verse 45. You don't hear many preachers preach about verse 45. I had somebody say, well, you know, I don't believe in paying tithes. I said, oh, you don't believe in paying tithes? He said, well, it's Old Testament. I said, oh, you think tithes is Old Testament? They said, yes. I said, would you like to do it New Testament? They said, yes. I said, good, bring me everything. Now, God never asked them to do that. And in fact, they really got in trouble by doing it. But I want to show you something. In the Old Testament, They had a special sacrifice on a special day, brought by a special person, given to a special man, and presented in a special way. But when God made the church, he never gave us any kind of order to have church by. He never told us when to have song service. He never told us when to pray. He never told us when to preach. Hello. Amen. And so these people had just received the Holy Ghost. And they were full from receiving the Holy Ghost. And they didn't know what to do. They were so happy and they were so joyful and they were so blessed. And so they decided, they were so excited with what God had done for them that they gave everything so every person could have an equal portion. Now I said, God never asked us to do that. But what I'm trying to show you is that's the first thing the New Testament church did. They were excited, and they wanted their brothers to have something, and they wanted their sisters to have something. Are you taking pictures? You want my good side? They wanted their brothers to have something, and they wanted their sisters to have something. Hello. Now, we can have fun. This is the only place you can have fun, still go to heaven. Hallelujah. And they were excited. They were thrilled. They wanted everybody to have the same. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about God as a giver. And when he gives to us, he expects us to catch the same principle. There are givers and takers. That's right. In marriage, there's givers and takers. There's those that give, and there's those that take. Someone said, we have a 50-50 marriage. I make the money, my wife spends it. All the husbands clap. At school, there's givers and takers. You ever play basketball with a taker? He always wants to shoot. No matter where he's at in the court, he just wants to shoot. He doesn't want to be a team player. He just wants to be, the pro. He wants to be the best. And so there's takers. But thank God there's those that have learned the principle of giving. Of giving. Of giving. Amen. That God wants us to give. Amen. Come here. Hurry. No, not you. Him. I can't choose you. I'm married. Here, come up here. Now, this is Adam. He was perfect. Maybe we better use someone else. Now, when I raise this hand, you say hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, just him. Wait a minute. When I raise this hand, say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, let me try it again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. When God made Adam, before he made an Adam, he made a universe for him. David said, when I get to looking at heaven, hallelujah, I know how great you are. And so he made a universe for him. Then he made a world for Adam. Then he made a garden for Adam. And he said, Adam, I give you everything that's here. And every time I want you to, hallelujah, I'm going to put a string on your hand like a marionette or a puppet, hallelujah, and I'm going to pull it. No, that's not how he made man. He didn't make us, hallelujah, have force worship. Hello. He wanted man to worship from his heart. And so he said, Adam, all I want from you, I created you, amen, to worship me, to worship me, to worship me. And every time he walked in the garden and he passed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and left it alone, you know what he did? He worshiped. Obedience is the highest form of worship. Hello. If you really love me, you'll leave it alone. If you really love me, you won't touch it. If you really love me, you won't have anything to do with it. But there's good there. Yes, but what they didn't know, there's good they could never have and bad they could never get rid of. And so Adam, every time he walked past the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he worshiped, he worshiped, he worshiped, he worshiped, he worshiped. Thank you, Adam. Go find Eve. And so God wanted worship. He wanted to give. But what he wanted man to do You'll be blessed. You can have all of this if you will just obey. And I'm telling you, there are blessings from God that are greater than just an emotional high at a youth convention. Now, I love it. I've shouted, I've run, I've danced, I've rolled on the floor, and you're looking at an emotional person. Hallelujah. I love to worship God. But I'm telling you, I have learned that some of the greatest blessings I have ever found was by me giving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to have God's favor, learn to be like God. God gives. Amen. And so God said, you can have everything but the tree. What was the tree? That was God's part. There's a part, hallelujah, that God reserves for his own. Amen. And we can even say that was the tithe, the first fruits that God said that belonged to me. The same principle happened in the walls of Jericho when the children of Israel came to Jericho. And God said, I want to give to you again. It's the promise. I want to give you this land. But you can't take anything from Jericho. Do you know he never said that in any other battle? In every other battle, he said, it's all yours. But this was the first battle, and it was the first of 10 battles. And God was saying, amen, that's the tithe. And if you want to be blessed in the promised land, you're going to have to learn the truth of the first battle. Hallelujah. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Can you say amen? If you want to be blessed, young people, I'll tell you how to be blessed. Blessed is by giving. Jesus said, it's more... freely you have received, and what? Freely give. Paul said, Jesus said, it is more blessed or happy to give than it is to receive. And so God said, it's yours. But listen to this. Achan takes a Babylonian garment, and he takes a wedge of silver, and he takes a wedge of gold. Isn't it interesting that when we preach about Jericho, we always preach about one young person? And we never talk about all the thousands of young persons that were people that were born and raised in the wilderness that had never seen a city, never seen a wedge of gold, never seen a wedge of silver, never seen a Babylonian garment, had traveled for 40 years being brought up in a wilderness, hallelujah. And when they get to this city and they see all this splendor, they obey. I'm thankful we got a whole lot of good young people. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? But Achan was an idiot. He stole a garment he couldn't wear. Stole gold he couldn't use. But worse than that, he traded that God had given him. A garment that might not have been as pretty, but it never wore out. Did you hear me? Somebody said, oh, come out in the world. Look at all the glitter. Look at all the glamour. Look at all the excitement out there. No, I'm telling you, that'll tarnish, and that'll tear, and that'll rip, and that'll get old, and that's not going to be worth anything. But hallelujah, God said, I'm going to give you a garment of salvation and a robe of righteousness, and it's for eternity. It's for everlasting and everlasting, and it will never, 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 hallelujah, wear out. Come on, let's love God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God gives to you. He gives to you because he's love. He loves you. Several months ago, I began to be stirred by God. And God gave me a thought that I had never even considered. Before God was ever Savior, before he was ever King, he was God. Before he ever made a universe, he was God. Before he ever formed an ocean or made a hill, he was God. And so when I thought about coming before him with thanksgiving and praise, I began my prayer different. You see, I used to pray, thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost, and thank you, God, for saving me, and thank you, God, for healing me, and thank you, God, for my family and my children, my grandchildren, and I started coming before God and saying, God, you are an awesome God. You are a mighty God. Forget the world. Forget me, God. Hallelujah. Forget the stars and the sun and the universe. Hallelujah. From everlasting to everlasting, you're God. Hallelujah. You're everywhere. You're a great, mighty, wonderful God. And I began to think, I need to give to God. Hello. I need to give to God. I need to give to God. He wants worship. He wants praise because he's God. He wants us to lift him up because he is God. He wants us to serve him because he is God. He wants us to love him because he is God. He wants us to become alive because he is God. Hallelujah. It's not just the world. It's the universe. It's heavens. It's everything. You're everything. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's love him some more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you a story. God is a giver. It's a story about two young people. The boy's name is Steve. And the girl's name is Denise. And when Steve was born, God said, I want to give you something special, Steve. So he gives to Steve a beautiful box all wrapped in ribbon and bows. And like most guys, he didn't care about that. He just ripped open the page and the paper and the string and the ribbon. And in that box was a beautiful red rose. And God said, I love you so much that this is your red rose and you can have it. And so he put it in the box and he carefully put it away. When Denise was born, God gave to her a beautiful package and said, this is yours. We're talking about blessing now. I'm going to give, God said. She opened the package delicately. She took the paper and the ribbon and she opened the box, and in it was a beautiful pink rose, the most beautiful rose she had ever seen. And so she put it away. They grew up, become young people, started dating. Steve finally found a girl he really liked and started paying attention to her. And one night she said, I want your red rose. And Steve said, I can't give you my red rose. You see, it's a gift from God. And I can't let you have it. And she said, but I want it. Because he wouldn't give it to her, she broke up with him. Made fun of him at school. Called him, maybe he was gay. Maybe he was strange. But Steve knew that God had given him that red rose. Denise started dating. She started liking some boys, and finally she liked one boy in particular, and finally one night that boy said, I want your pink rose. And she said, you can't have it. It's a gift from God. And he said, if you really cared for me, you really loved me, you'd let me have it. And she gave in. And he bent the stem. She went out with other guys, and they said the same thing, and that rose didn't look like it was when God gave it to her. By chance, Steve and Denise started going out. But Steve never once asked her for that gift God gave to her. And after a while, he proposed and they got married. On their wedding night, he said, I have something that God gave to me that I have kept for this moment to give to you. And he brought out a beautiful red rose. How do you think Denise felt? Hello. I'm telling you something tonight. that there are blessings that God gives to us that are more than just what I feel, even right now. God has built in some blessings. He loves you. Hallelujah. He wants you to understand some principles. Hallelujah. That to have God's favor, hallelujah, is obedience is better than sacrifice. And God is saying, I've got some blessings for you, and I want to bless you. And I'm so glad that if we sin, I tell my young people, hallelujah, if you fall, fall forward. At least you're going in the right direction. Get up. Let's live for God. But I'm telling you, there's something about giving to God. Can you say amen? Come on, let's love him a minute. Hallelujah. 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 I gave my life to God at the age of 17 in a United Brethren church. High school, I sat in high school. I used to go to church. I'd received the Holy Ghost in Assembly God Church when I was 9 years old, and because of church trouble, they just disbanded and moved. I finally quit. Is this all right if I preach like this? Young people, you can be the key to have revival. You can be a key to keep trouble out of your church. How do you do it? By giving to the pastor and by giving to the service and by giving to God. Amen. Brother Cantrell, I don't know what my life would have been if they wouldn't have had all kinds of messes, but they just did. And so finally, I just quit. And I learned to cuss, and I learned to drink, and I learned to smoke, and I'm not proud about all that. I learned to do all the things young people in the world do, and I'm not proud of that. But one day in a high school class, a boy of a United Brethren, and this is in 1957, people didn't talk about God in the streets. They didn't carry Bibles to restaurants. He stood up, and he challenged Mr. Johnson, our history teacher, and said, "There is a God." And there was something down inside of me that started to turn inside. And I had cigarettes in my pocket, but I went over to him and I said, "John, I used to go to church." And he invited me to church. And a bunch of us guys, we drove around, thought we were tough. You know how you do it? In our day, you wore sunglasses even at night. You put your collar up, I guess you were cold, and you sat real, and you had a cigarette hanging, and you looked real tough. And so, we all went to church. I talked them all into going to church, and we had a 50 Mercury. I mean, it was sharp. We drove up in front of this church, and all those guys got out, and all these little ladies' eyes got about this big, and they were shaking our head. "How are you? How are you? How are you?" And then we got scared, got back in the car, and drove off. But there was something that God had touched me with as a little boy. And so I wanted it. So I went back, but I wasn't happy. So I started going to the Assembly God Church. I fell in love with a girl. I was youth director at 18 years old. I was preaching. I was already enrolled in a Bible college. I was engaged to be married. And God started to deal with me about the oneness of the Godhead. And when God revealed it to me, I told my girlfriend, "I want to talk to you about being baptized in Jesus' name." And so we went to Griffith Park. This is in the Los Angeles area. We went to Griffith Park on a Saturday afternoon. I took all my Bibles. I didn't know very much. I took all my Bibles and tracts, and I tried to convince her. And she said, I'll never believe that. And I had to make a decision. Hello. I knew I wanted to preach, and I knew Jesus' name baptism was right, and I knew I needed to preach that. And so sitting there in that car, we broke up, and I remember her running to the door crying, and I remember pulling away with tears rolling down my cheek, driving to our church in Pasadena at that time, weeping and crying. But I realized that I had a heart that wanted God and a heart that wanted her. And if I was ever going to do anything for God, if I was ever going to be blessed, I had to give all my heart to God. Hello. If I was ever going to have the blessings of God, I could not have a double-minded heart. I couldn't have half my heart loving God and half my heart somewhere else. Hallelujah. And God gave me a better wife. I love her 10,000 times better than the one I would have married. But I'm telling you something. If you live for God, hallelujah, and you live for God and give God your heart, He'll bless you. And you'll get so much more, hallelujah, back from what you think you're losing. Hallelujah. When I first got in the church, I was listening to the radio one time, and there was a mission program. And they said, there is a man that needs a new suit. And I thought, I just bought a new suit. Surely that's not me, God. So I was really listening, and they said the size. And in those days, you used to have the size of your suit. So I went in the closet. It was the exact same size I had. Then, when they tailored it, they made the pants too long. And he said, this man's especially tall. Go ahead, write it on the wall, God. Baglan. You know, when I'm in trouble, he don't even say brother. He just says, Baglan. So I worked for the telephone company. In fact, I was an installer, and I was out on a pole, up on a pole, putting in a telephone line, and I called a mission, and I said, somebody gave a suit, didn't they? No. I said, okay, I'll give that suit. But I didn't. I gave an old one. And the next week in church, I think it was the next week, a man came up and said, I have an old suit I want to give you. And I'll tell you, I put that new suit on, and it was never mine. And I finally gave it to. And I learned a lesson. It is more blessed when God talks to you. He doesn't want all your money. He doesn't want all your time. He just wants first place. I was in Madeira for several years helping Brother Tua, which has passed away. He used to be our district secretary. A precious man, wonderful man of God. And the church had a struggle. Hello, young people. I'm going to get there in just a minute. The church had a struggle. And so I used to give him all my overtime money. He never knew that. I don't think Sister Tua knows it to this day. But in my tithing check, if I worked an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever that overtime money was, my wife and I decided we would give that to God. The first service of every missionary service, I mean the first service of every home mission church that I start, the money goes to missions. Are you listening? I have never one time had to ask any congregation in a home mission church to help me raise one penny to pay any bill. Do you know why? Because God blesses the givers. I don't give to get, but I'm telling you, if you're not giving to God, you're missing a blessing. You're missing the blessing of God. Hallelujah. 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 I've had men that paid 20% tithes. Brother Sogi, pastors in Santa Barbara, used to pay 20% tithes to help me stay full-time. I'm telling you, it comes back. If you sow, you will reap. Hallelujah. It's a blessing factor. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus is a giver. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became what? He became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. For God so loved, he gave. We love him because he first loved us. God became flesh.
How much more should I be willing? Hallelujah. I don't want to just be a taker, young person. Hello. I just don't want to take from the preacher and take from the service and take from God and just take, receive, receive, receive. I want to give and give and give. Hallelujah. I want to give to God. I was in the service, a missionary service the other day. I'm a home missionary. God spoke to my heart. I wrote out a check. I gave it to the missionary. He said, Brother Bagland, I need to give you an offering. I said, no, I want to give you this offering. Now, I didn't expect, I just felt to do it. I went to a little, well, I'll tell you, I went to South Dakota to do a Sunday school convention, a seminar. That church, district has 9 churches. And I got the second largest offering I have ever gotten in my entire life. Hello! I didn't give to get, but I'm saying, hallelujah, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. There's a blessing in this. Hallelujah. You're dealing with God. You're dealing with Almighty Creator. You're dealing, hallelujah, with someone that created the world by a spoken word. And if He can create a world by a spoken word, what can He do for us? Hallelujah. That He loves and that He died for and that He gave His life for. He wants to bless us. Let's turn to Ephesians in closing, chapter 4. I want to talk a little bit here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Please notice, given, gift, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captives captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, which is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up afar above all heavens, that he might fill the things, all things. Now, please listen. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors. Everybody say pastors. And teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How many know what the word perfect means in the Bible? How many think you do? Perfect does not mean angelic. I've had all the super spirituals I care to pastor. I've had them correct my English. I've had them correct my scriptures. I've had them correct my preaching. Perfection means spiritual maturity. Hello. It means spiritual maturity. Anybody here got a little baby? Could get up here real fast. Little, can you bring that little girl up here? Yeah. Another willing young people. You know Brother Bagland. How old is she? She's 3. Look, it's Brother Bagland. Let me do magic, see? See, she's smiling. I want you to quote the Constitution.
Toasty.
What'd she say? Maybe you better sit down. She's a perfect 3. That's all you expect from a 3-year-old. Can I tell you, young people? Get off the new convert's back. Hallelujah. You've been in it a long time. We expect you to walk, but they may stumble. We expect you to talk, but they may just gurgle. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But get this. Perfection means spiritual maturity. So he gives us the ministry to perfect us. Now, can I say this? I love Brother Mark Morgan. I've had his brother preach for me. His dad used to be my assistant. He's a preacher. But this is dining out. We're dining out. Tablecloths and... Hello? Gourmet cooking. 10 courses. Good singing. Good choir. But you can't live and grow on just a few good meals. But your pastor, he feeds you every week, and 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 every week. So you grow, and you grow, and you grow. And he knows you need vitamins, and he knows you need some spinach, and he knows you need some broccoli. Hello. And it's not all shout, and it's not all emotion, but he knows what to give you. You need some preaching. You need some teaching. You need some digging. You need some work on you. Hallelujah. So you grow. So you grow. Thank God for my pastor. Thank God for my pastor. I need to give to him. I need to appreciate him. I need to love him. Hallelujah. No one. See, well, we don't have a big choir. Man, you ought to be in my church. I told my wife, if you don't backslide, we're bound to grow. True story. I get up on Sunday. I said, now our choir will sing. It's me. You got to listen carefully for all four parts. We took the offering. The plates came back empty. I said, Stan, let's thank God we got the plates back. But if you'll learn to give, and you learn to give Bible studies, and you learn to invite, and you learn to worship in the Spirit, there'll be a choir someday. There'll be a Sunday school someday. There'll be everything someday. Hallelujah. I don't have to look somewhere else. Hallelujah. I can make it happen in my pew. I can make it happen in my church. I'm going to bless my pastor. Hallelujah. I'm going to bless my church. Come on, let's stand up. Let's love God. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. I want to give. I want to give. Hallelujah. 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 Do I have a piano player somewhere? Who's going to, somebody play the piano for me? Hallelujah. Here she comes. About the key of F. Amen. You've been a super group. This is a super camp conference. And super, but take it home. One man had prayed through and backslid and prayed through and backslid and prayed through and backslid. So they were all praying for him, and they were saying, fill him up, fill him up. And one sister said, no, God, stop him up. He leaks. Give me an F. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more. And I want to love, I want to love. Make this the theme song for your church, of your youth group, of your family. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you feel him? Oh, I want to live